Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Hey, and it is Tuesday, March 17th, 2020. Brady Wright, Shane Osborne, Steve, the producer, Johan, joining millions of listeners observing a social distancing limit of 6 feet from each other as we listen to this 129th episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Yeah, we're in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, and, you know, our studio, palatial as it is not big enough for us to get much more than about 6 feet apart.
Right.
When, before I came down here tonight, my wife was saying, are you observing all the protocols? And I said, yes, we bathe in hand sanitizer before we come in.
Wrap ourselves in saran wrap.
I like the bubble wrap, actually. It's kind of a nice approach. Steve and I are almost exactly 6 feet apart.
But if Shane joins us tonight, then he is going to be, 3 feet from each one of us.
I say we pound him.
We'll push him back further by the window.
I'm sorry, Shane. You can't come in. Shane is going to be a little late, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, thanks for tuning us in on iTunes and iHeart Podcasts and Spotify and Podomatic.com. We really appreciate it. And we appreciate those of you who are liking and following our totally sanitized Facebook page for all the latest shows. And as usual, at this point in the show, I say nice things about Witch Doctor Restoration because it's a pretty cool outfit. Your project could, in fact, be a Witch Doctor project. Big job, small job, dream job. Call 206-437-1765, and the Witch Doctor will come and help you if you're in the Pacific Northwest. If you're in Minnesota, he's not going there.
Or Florida.
Well, he might because he'd like.
Yeah, if you want to pay him, I think he'd go down there.
You fly Shane anywhere, he will come.
He will.
Our first segment is always Back to the Blacktop. Steve Johan has automotive news and information as usual. What's up, my brother?
Well, I discovered, and I didn't write it down, there is...
Once again, Steve is making up everything.
My gosh. No, this. I was doing a research on one of our past guests, and I was doing a search online, and up pops our podcast, and I was like, what's this podcast server? So I pop it up, and I'm like, 26,000 views, or listens in the last, wow.
Yeah.
I guess people are actually listening to the show.
Well, of course people
are. It was a different, it wasn't one of the ones we're mentioning, so I'm going to get the name of this one.
Oh, is it Stitcher or something?
No, it's a whole different one.
And really?
Bob's
podcast server.
That's like Crunch or something like that.
Okay, fine.
I'm not sure if those who are listening will know what I'm trying to do. Next week I'll have it down and we'll mention. I just thought this is super cool.
Well, I like it.
So I love discovering that we are being listened to and we are going to put some stuff together here in the not too distant future. I'm going to be doing some revamping of the website.
Well, but we're already on YouTube. There's some of our shows are going on YouTube.
Chrome and Rust.
The funny part about it, our YouTube channel is Chrome and Rust, and it's going to include more than just the show.
Yep.
But the things that are up there now are archive shows. Well, now understand, we're heading for a video format
not
here.
Not too distant future.
Right, but until, obviously, the archives are all audio.
Yes, they are.
And so what Steve has done, because he's a brilliant guy, he has put up a picture of, a still of us sitting in the studio looking like goobers, and it just sits there while you hear the audio.
That's right.
And somebody, some wise guy on YouTube said, great video, dudes. Like, okay, we know it's a still.
We know.
It's okay. We did it on purpose because we can't make up video for a show that's 2 years old. But, you know, we're doing our best. Live video stuff is coming. Not too far away.
No. I was doing some research today, as a matter of fact, and we're going to have a nice little discussion after the show.
Oh, fine.
Yes.
You mean I have to wear makeup? Doggone you
anyway. No, I'm not. You can wear a mask or something.
Oh, thanks. It's either makeup or a mask. I got a Garfield mask I'll wear.
It'll be one of those YouTube where they put the voice over where you can't tell who they are and that's got it all blacked out.
Nice.
Yeah. No, I think everybody sees our mugs already now on YouTube. Go Chrome and Rust and you'll see us on there.
This is our host in witness protection. We won't. He can't tell who he is. We're going to change our voices. Jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
It'll be fun.
It will. It will. And
what's the apps?
ALG, a subsidiary of True Car, updated its 2020 new vehicle sales forecast, calling for a major downshift in car sales in what it described as a long-term economic slowdown as the economic wreckage from the COVID-19 hits home.
Oh, yeah.
The forecast called for a 14% decline in new vehicle sales, down 2.4 million units from the initial 2020 forecast, down 14% of 2019. And let's be honest, it was already forecasted even prior to the new year that we were going to see a downturn in sales.
There was
going to
be a dip. Yeah.
There was.
And a kind of an unavoidable one because it's been riding pretty high the last couple of years. So we saw it coming.
Yep.
But this virus has not helped at all. And fortunately, the good news is it's got a half-life. We can see the end of it. It's just going to be a couple of months out.
Yep.
And that's not encouraging, but at least it's there's a horizon.
There is. And with this in mind comes this from Volkswagen, which will shutter its European plants for 2 weeks starting Friday, said their CEO Herbert Diess, adding it is very difficult year for VW, though the Chinese operations are bouncing back. And that's interesting because the Chinese operations overall have been slow for about 18 months.
Well, and thanks. That's where the virus came from in the first place.
It is.
So, but they're bouncing back. Good for them.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah. And so anyway, you know, it was nothing but the COVID-19 related.
Oh, yeah.
I said, okay, forget it. Let's move on.
There's no news except that.
Oh, no. So here's something else. Honda expansion into the high-end electrified cars has shown to be not so profitable. As such, Honda has pulled the plug on its Clarity Electric, the purely battery-powered version of its exotic alternative fuel vehicle.
That's interesting.
It is.
Honda's huge, so if they're pulling the plug and, you know, taking a wait and see, that's very intriguing.
Well, and it's their higher end, and they're not getting the sales, but it will continue to sell its fuel cell PHEV models.
Right.
The Clarity, they've decided it's not making the deal. And
there's not a market for
no.
it. You know, they've got a big enough organization that they can see that coming. And why throw money at something that's not going to work?
Especially if you're probably carrying the same version in gas, I would suspect.
Maybe an idea that the time isn't quite here yet.
There you go.
Yeah.
And along the same lines, BMW will be pulling its plug on its i8 plug-in hybrid sports car.
Yeah.
Next month, after a six-year run, going forward, the factory will focus on all-electric products like the iNEX, i4, and iX3. So again, these guys it's been out there for a period of time. They're going, we're not getting the sales.
Yeah.
And we can't keep hitting our head against the wall. So we're going to shift to maybe different, less expensive models that are getting the sales.
Right.
So that's all part of shuffling
smart
through.
Business.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Now, warning. When things like the COVID virus...
You have to say Will Robinson.
Yes. Warning. Will Robinson.
Warning, Will Robinson.
This is worse than meteor showers. When things like the COVID virus scare is going on, your Congress is probably pushing through an unpopular legislation. And the following are two examples.
Oh.
First, March 17th, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said
NTHB.
It was proposing sweeping changes to the U.S. safety requirements to speed the deployment of self-driving vehicles without human controls. The agency said in a proposing to rewrite 11 safety standards that require traditional manual control by revising the requirements and test procedures to account for the removal of manually operated driving controls. The proposal will be opened for public comment before the agency can finalize it. But guess what? Do you think you're going to hear any about this in the major media? No, not with the COVID. So NHTSA proposed to revise rules for occupant protection, steering controls, glazing materials, door locks, seating systems, side impact protection, roof crush resistance, child restraint anchorage systems, and some are to address vehicles that will be delivering only and have no passengers. Jason Levine, who heads the Center for Auto Safety, criticized them for moving ahead during the coronavirus pandemic, adding it should not remove regulatory safeguards for technology even DOT acknowledges has not been proven and may in fact be unsafe.
Well, you know, if you leave them alone in a dark room by themselves, they make stuff up. I'm not crazy about this. Hey,
no.
We are going to be coming back. We got a really cool interview this time. We're going to talk to Heidi Lynn and her boyfriend, Arco. They are radical rod builders from Minnesota. All that and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life, or just show up at your garage and weld up the frame for your rod so it stays together. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 206-437-1765. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 206-437-1765, 206-437-1765.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Project Yellow Light.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service.
Hi, it's Jeff Conwell with the Monsters and Manson, giving a big shout-out to everyone at Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back with the first half of the Windshield View, and this week we're talking with Radical Rod Builders Heidi Lynn and her friend Arco Horton. And so, Arco, good to have you on with us.
Nice to meet you guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, pleasure. So in addition to being Radical Rod Builders, Heidi owns Minnesota Outlaw Customs, which is a really cool shop. I went to the webpage and looked at some of your stuff, and you guys have got some pretty nice products out there. Let me ask you this. I mean, we have you on here because you're part of the Radical Rod Build-Off, but you guys have been doing this for a while. Heidi's business has been around for a little while. So let's talk about that. How long has Minnesota Outlaw Customs been around?
Well, we've been in business for 5 years. I moved back here 6 years ago from Stockton, California.
Nice.
And I built custom cars and stuff in California and had another company. And I moved back here, went through a crappy divorce and all that good stuff. Came back here to visit my dad and met Heidi. And we've been together ever since. She kind of, yeah, that was in, what, 2013? And we ended up opening the shop together because, she wanted to do, like, automotive and all that kind of stuff with her shop. And when she realized what I did, then we kind of just went together and we started building custom cars and whatever. And literally overnight, it just took off. I mean, we grew out of one shop and moved and grew out of another shop and moved. And now we have three shops in Big Falls. It's just gone mad, you know?
Well, that's the way it should be, ideally. I mean, the times are right for custom, you know, shops. The hobby is coming along just grand. There's a piece of video on you guys' Facebook page that is a Roadster that you got going on there. Tell me, it sounds pretty radical. Tell me a little about that one.
Yeah, that's I was out hiking with my dog. I do a lot of bushcrafting and survival stuff out in the woods. And I was hiking with my dog, and I looked down in a ravine. And I saw the body of something. I thought it was like a tractor or something. So I had to be nosy. And I went down and, dug around and realized it was an old car. And I went back later that day and ended up, it took me like 3 days to dig this thing out of the silt and the mud and the dirt and everything. And I dragged a bunch of parts home. And I realized I had a complete 29 Chevy Roadster. And I ended up putting a 68 Corvette 327 in it. It's got like 425 horse.
Yeah.
And left it real ratty looking. But it's a badass little car. I mean, as soon as we took that thing to shows and stuff, it was like people were all over it. And we, they know it's because of that car.
Sure.
Now, so people, now did you go out?
People, are, wait a minute. People are listening to the thing, and they're probably, as we speak, going to the website to see the car. I got to ask you, where'd you get the windshield that's on that thing?
I hand-built that.
Okay.
Each one of those bars that come up to make it look like a Duval windshield, there's like 17 pieces of metal in that, and I handmade those. And then there's a lot of parts on the car that are handmade.
Well, you can tell that for sure. Looking at the windshield, I thought maybe it came off a boat. It's got that kind of look to it, you know?
And that's what I was going for. I was going for that old, like, boat tail speedster, hot rod.
Chris Craft look, yep.
Windshield. So, yeah, yep. And I wanted to look fast when it was sitting there, so it was a fun project.
Well, now, I got to ask you, where did you find – you said you were out mucking around in the bush, and you came across this. Did you talk to the owner of the property, and they gave you the permission to just yank that sucker out of there?
No, the owner of the property, he owns thousands of acres around Big Falls where we live, and he told me any cars that are out on the property, take them. They're yours. And he's a car guy, too. He's got tons of cars.
Nice.
That
not to mention some that were used as cofferdams and other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Have you? So now I got to ask you this: since you dug one out of the dirt and made it run, are you familiar with? There's a guy in Kansas named Quentin Folk. Are you familiar with his page at all?
No.
Okay, so I'll just hand this one out because Quentin's been a guest on the show. He's got a Facebook page called The Resurrection of the Ford Model A, I think. If you look up Resurrection on Facebook, you'll get to his page. He did almost the same
yes.
thing, and it's a great story. I think you and he would have a lot in common. He's been on the show.
That's awesome.
So what else do you build at Outlaw Customs? Let's talk about that.
We have a coach-built car that's it's like a Cruella de Vil-looking boat-tail speedster that we're building right now, and we wanted to enter that into the Radical Rod build-off. And it was January 1st that we were supposed to start building the car, so we couldn't use that car, of course. So that one's in our body shop right now. We're going to try to finish that one up this year after the SEMA car. And so we're doing the other car that we're building is a hand-built, a coach-built car that is – I don't know if you have pictures of it or whatever, but it's real radical. It's for this radical build-off drive-off.
Right. We'll definitely – we'll link them up to the show once we post it online so people will be able to see what you're talking about. But give us a little insight to that one. I know you can't talk too much because you got to have some surprises, but
– Well, it started out – we wanted to build something real radical for this International Radical Rod build-off. And, you know, we looked into the sponsors and everything like that, and we had Glenn Ridd from NZ Mopar on YouTube and out of Australia. He drew one of our drawings, you know, renderings for the car. And we all got together, him and me and Heidi, on Skype, and we ended up designing this car. And it's coming together in the shop right now as we're speaking, you know, as we're talking on the phone. We're getting this thing all built and whatever. But we used the windshield of a 48 Studebaker Champion.
Because
it had the VIN tag, so we can register the car as a 48 Studebaker. But
there you go.
I promise you, there's nothing on this car that's Studebaker.
Interestingly enough, I have a 41 Jimmy pickup that's a lot like that. The dashboard, yeah. The dashboard is a 41 Jimmy, and not much else.
Well, actually, Heidi came up with the idea that the dashboard in this car. She was looking at it one day. It was on the wall of the shop, and it was just so nice. I didn't want to put it out in the junkyard.
Yeah.
Because we have a junkyard with a bunch of cars and stuff, but I told her I don't want this going outside. So we ended up taking the grill shell from this 48 Studebaker and using it as the dashboard on this car that we're building.
Oh, very cool.
Awesome.
Okay.
It looks really mean.
Very cool.
Well, I want to back up a little bit. You know, we talk to a lot of individuals like yourself, but I always like to find out kind of the backstory of what got you into the whole car bug and the fabrication bug? What was that? You're growing up as a kid? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, my dad was into motorcycles and stuff, and I kind of, as a young kid, I got kind of burned out on motorcycles, and I started looking into hot rods and old cars and whatever, and I got into restorations and couldn't stand it. I thought it sucked, and I started looking into, like, hot rods, and I was like, you know, they're cool too, but the custom scene where somebody can take a car and actually hand make it, you know, that always thrilled me. I was always, like, super pumped about that. So I started getting into, you know, checking into magazines and whatever, and then, you know, going to all these car shows, and I got to meet Gene Winfield and Larry Watson and Bill Hines, and actually became real good friends with all these guys in NorCal, California.
Right.
And
that's the place,
started
too.
Talking with them. Yeah, and then when I was real young, getting into this, I actually was at Turlock Swap Meet in Turlock, California, talking to Gene Winfield one day, and I was getting ready to leave, and I told him, I'd love to own one of those Mercurys. He had some junk Mercury sitting there at the swap meet he was selling, by that time I was already getting real heavy into metalworking and trying to teach myself and everything. Everything's self-taught. And I was talking to Gene Winfield, and he says, well, I'll tell you what, I don't want to drag those home. Why don't you take one of them home? Whatever you got in your pocket, it'll buy it. And I'm like, whatever, and I thought he was joking, and he goes, no, I'm serious. Here's the title right here. Whatever you got in your pocket. And I pulled out $25, and Gene Winfield sold me a 50 Mercury,
wow.
A junk. It was pretty much junk, but sure. I mean, to me, it was golden.
Of course,
to be able to own one of his cars.
Well, plus it's the story. I mean, you bought one from Gene. That right there is a gold.
Yeah, and actually, to this day, I have the dashboard in Minnesota Outlaw Customs hanging on the wall.
It's oh, nice.
In the shop right now. So
very
yeah.
cool. Very cool. Well, so you guys, I mean, you kind of get into it, I guess, honestly, you start pretty young, and we say this a lot because we talk to a lot of people who are into both, cars and motorcycles and snowmobiles and everything else, tractors, anything with a motor. Motor people are kind of, that way, and, I appreciate, where you came from because it's kind of my path as well. Now, Heidi is part of this as well, and we definitely want to talk with her. So we're going to take a break. We got a momentary pause coming up to pay some bills, and maybe we talk to Heidi when we come back. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Winner. All right, the Windshield View will be right back. We got more with Minnesota Outlaw Customs with Arco Horton and Heidi Lynn on Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Do not touch that dial. There is a dial someplace. I'm almost sure of it.
Yeah. Well, you're. Yeah. Don't
it's got
click.
Nothing,
don't
it's
click
got nothing
away.
To do with us, but
keep
there
it,
is a dial.
Keep it clicked.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it, you might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower Chrome and Rust after these messages.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
This is Jerry Heasley, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest show I've been on in at least the last year.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
All right, we're back with the second half of the Windshield View. And before the break, we were talking with Arco Horton, who is the boyfriend of Heidi Lynn, who owns Minnesota Outlaw Customs. But now, this segment, we get to talk with Heidi herself. Heidi, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. We're just super. Good. We just if you're just tuning in, what we did here We've been talking about the radical rot build-off, and several of the people who were involved in it last year or this most recent year at SEMA and stuff were referred to us so that we can talk to a whole bunch of folks who got into, into doing that, and Heidi was one of them. And as we said, Heidi's the owner of Minnesota Outlaw Customs. How did you get involved in doing that? What made you buy a custom shop? By the way, you have three shops, right?
Well, we have we work out of three shops. It's all under one heading, and then we use three shops all for different applications.
Nice.
We don't, we have basically our fab shop is our shop that's kind of our face of our business.
Okay.
And then we do other work in the other two shops. And then we have a couple storage areas as well. But I started the shop just mostly because I've always wanted to own my own business. And then 2003, I had a micro preemie child, and he grew up, and he was in the NICU for a long time, and he's always needed extra care. And so one of my goals in life was to make my life flexible enough to work with him. While as he grew up, he has autism, so I really need a flexible schedule.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was thinking I need to work for myself. Well, I was bartending, and I met a non-drinking guy who happened to swing into my bar one day, and the rest is history.
Very
but
cool.
I found out, it was pretty crazy. But throughout our first year, I realized, what a passion he had for cars. And as a kid, my dad is a logger, and most of the people in logging business, that they end up not spending a lot of time with their family. They're in the trucks a lot, or in the woods all the time. And if I wanted to see my dad, I needed to go hang out in the shop with him.
Sure.
So I've always been a little gearhead. I love cars, everything. I'm a redneck truck girl, so I have a big Chevy 2500 HD that's my baby,
There you go.
But I wanted to spend time with my dad, so I was in the shop. So I learned a lot, and I knew I had an interest in it. And then I found out, more and more about Arco's interest, and we ended up just kind of talking one day, and people there was a need for some small automotive stuff. So I thought, let's feed that need in town, and I'll still bartend, and we'll figure out, what we're going to do. It wasn't maybe a month, 2 months, and we ended up with some of our first work doing body work and paint, and just trying to feel out what we were actually going to go for. But we ended up doing mostly metalworking, and trying to do the custom so that's the niche we wanted to get into. So why really do the oil changes?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and we still, as the little old ladies in town, and we'll do a brake job here and there, just
sure.
Kind of almost as a community service, because
right.
There's the town of Big Falls is 230 some people, and the population is generally over the age of 70. So it's pretty crazy here.
Well, now you have to forgive me. I'm not as familiar with that part of Minnesota as I should be. What's Big Falls close to?
We are 28 miles south of the Canadian border, about 40 miles from International Falls.
Okay, gotcha.
So we're pretty far up. If you just get to the Canadian border in the center of the state and go down a little bit, and in the middle of the swamp is Big Falls.
In the middle of the swamp. Perfect. Perfect. Well, you picked a really good time to get involved in fabbing and custom stuff because, man, over the last 10 years, the car business has gone crazy. Muscle cars are back. Styling is starting to recur in a way that, cars are getting more fun. And the rat rod thing has just become a gigantic piece of the custom industry. And it's not to take anything away from guys like Winfield and Bill Hines and mm-hmm. The rest of the true custom guys. But not all of us can afford a $120,000 car. And people like to play with stuff, and they like to create something that's unusual. And that's, man, you picked a perfect time to be offering those services to people. And I'll bet you do a lot of stuff for people who have a vision, but they don't quite have the tech to do it.
Absolutely. We do that very, very often. Or sometimes we'll even, we've swung into our friends' shops and helped them out. And just even with my small block Chevy Maestro sitting next to me here, he's tuned cars over the phone. It's interesting. Anyway,
okay then.
But yeah, it's something else. But anyway, we definitely love the rat rod scene. That's kind of our baby. We have a lot of friends with rat rods. We have a lot of friends with all kinds of cars. And we have friends that will have multiple cars, they basically can suit their mood for the day. You know? But my favorite thing about rat rods is, yes, everybody can build one. And definitely they take on the personality of the person. By the time a person's done building it, you can kind of look at that car and almost match them up to the people. Like our
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, it is.
Our little Roadster is absolutely 110% ARCO. It is bare bones, down, you know, down and dirty, all business. It gets a lot of attention. It's a lot of fun. But we run with some really cool guys that their cars are also very indicative of their personalities, and that's super fun.
Well, that's the best thing about...
You know who belongs to what car.
Yeah.
That is funny.
It's the best thing about that hobby because, you know, it's the same no matter where. I mean, I'm a member of two different car clubs. And, we'll just play this game for just a second. You said that you can tell a lot about people by their car. You can kind of pick. So I'm going to describe a rat rod to you, and you tell me what the guy that owns this is like. Fair enough?
Okay, we'll try.
All right, here we go.
It's better if I can see it, though. If you sent me a picture, I'd probably be like, he has a polo shirt.
Let's just see what my powers of description will get you. So here we go. We're talking a 1941 Jimmy pickup with a 4-inch chop on a Honda Passport frame, disc front, drum rear, Dana 44 rear end. Big block 455 Buick, stack headers behind it, and the body is a rat rod looking kind of ice cream truck with a train horn.
Sounds like it might be you.
Well, yeah.
Because only you would know that much stuff about your own vehicle.
Oh, believe me, I could tell you stuff about everybody in my club, but yeah.
I know, right? Yeah.
My wife looks at me and says, what failure of personality made you think of something like that? And I said, well, you know, I'm shy and retiring, and I don't want to be the center of attention. And that's, of course, why you build something that idiotic. But
that's the fun of it. And I love the science of taking these parts that do not belong together.
Yes.
And putting
them
together. And, you know, because we run in our car, we've got that Corvette engine, and then we've got a S10 T5 behind it,
right,
and a 94 RAV4 rear end. And somebody said, why'd you choose that rear end? That's just crazy. And we're like, well, because it had a 6 lugs.
Yeah, because it was there in the pile, and I needed one that had that connection. Yeah.
Well, and that engine has so much torque that we you know, those rear ends are pretty much indestructible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we destroyed one.
Oh.
doing burnout.
Well, that's why I chose the Passport, you know, Isuzu Rodeo, same thing, because they come with this Dana 44, and I went, oh, well, okay, I can't break that, probably. We'll see.
Probably, right?
Maybe.
Well, yep, if you do enough burnout, there's, I don't know, there's some sort of magic spell that we actually did it, and we took out 7 teeth in one stretch, and it was still going down the road.
With
it
7 teeth.
It just made this funny lump, 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 lump sound. And we figured
yeah,
we
no kidding.
Change it.
And you pull the cases apart, it looks like somebody's eating popcorn in there.
Right? Well, it was really glittery. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh,
These are really pretty. How come they're all magnetic? I don't understand.
Oh, man. So I got to... I want to back up for a moment. You say you're in a township of 230, and you're in a car club, and that most people in your town are like 70 years in that average. So where do you draw from then? Where do you draw from for your club? Where do you draw from for your clientele?
We run with a small club out of. We're kind of unofficial members out of Grand Rapids. So we drive to Grand Rapids sometimes if the weather's really cold, because we have to leave at like 5 a.m. for a lot of shows. And so it's about, we have no windshield. I mean, you can see the windshield comes up to our chest.
Right.
So, and the Roadster. So it's when it's 40 degrees out here, it you know, you got to consider the windshield, and we're going to go, you know, 70 miles an hour in that car. A lot of times we'll trailer to Grand Rapids and we'll run with the Grand Rapids guys.
Yeah.
But in the town, in my town of 200, I was born and raised here. And we actually, when we started our shop, one of my cousin's husbands says, there's no custom cars in Big Falls. Whose cars are you going to fix?
We're going to make them, and then we'll fix them.
I just looked at him and I said, the internet. And then I walked away.
That'll stop him.
I was kind of speechless, because people don't, think outside the box
yeah.
a lot of times.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
As far as like, you know, that's why I think I like the rat rod scene is because everybody thinks outside the box. Nothing is written in stone. And
well,
you
yeah.
might see a car at the beginning of the car show season. And you might show up, you know, at Dairy Queen on a Thursday night and that car is completely different.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, they've decided to chop it and do, you know, do 15 other things to it. And
yep, every day.
Like, wow, that's crazy.
Well, that is the excitement. I mean, now, you know, custom cars have always been kind of fun. And of course, there's, you know, the mm-hmm. lead sled guys and the lowrider guys and all that kind of stuff. It's all good. We don't
absolutely
judge anybody. But rat rods have got a special part, you know, in history because you can go back to bobbers and bugs and stuff in the 30s. And it's that
yeah.
same philosophy. It's like, let's just take it apart. Let's make it as what, you know, as individual as we can, and let's make it go fast. And that it's.
Well, and also, oops, excuse me, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say the other thing is with rat rods is you can look in your backyard. And that's one of the things that ARCO says all the time. Look in your backyard. You could, you know, walk in your backyard and find, you know, or some people can, not everybody can, but you can find an engine, a frame, a transmission.
Not in my backyard.
Know. Yeah, well, sorry. My backyard's loaded with cars. I've got
yeah.
to look out when I'm washing my dishes. I look at a 27 Model T.
There you go.
Literally.
I look at pit bulls, but it's I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, you know.
You're in Minnesota. You got a lot more room around your yard. We have
oh,
little small yards here.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's one of the beauty things that comes with one of our really good friends. He's got a junkyard, and we've accumulated a junkyard. Basically,
yeah.
we've got a treasure. We like to call them treasures. We don't like to say they're junkyards.
That's right.
But what I like to do is you can build a rat rod with what you have.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
one of the things that we've actually done with our Radical Build-Off car is we had a 1977 Oldsmobile frame, and I was driving in, and we'd already decided we'd probably use that frame. And I was driving into the shop one day, and I stopped and kind of thought about something for a second. I came in, and I made ARCO go back there with me because of this lumpy car that we had. You know how lumpy those
oh, yeah.
Studebaker Champions are.
Oh, yeah.
They're about the most boring car on the planet, wouldn't you say? Anyways, but the front of that windshield has this really pretty peak. And
yeah.
the girl in me said, that peak is really, really pretty, and I want to use this with licensed car to do our car for the Radical Build-Off.
Nice.
And we stood out there and built the car in our brains, and next thing I know, he hauled it into the shop, and we started building, and it is a work of art. I don't know how much you've seen it, but there's pictures everywhere on it. And
yeah.
now in May.
Yeah, we're going to link some to the show page, too.
May?
Yeah,
oh,
it'll
okay,
be
great.
It'll
yeah.
be
but,
on our
May,
post.
Oh, okay, cool. The May issue of Drive Magazine is going to have a feature article on us, and then they're going to follow our build until after SEMA.
Super.
So we're
so
super
now,
excited
what are
about
you,
that.
Speaking of your build, I mean, you built one for last year. You're going to build one for this year as well?
No, we didn't build one for last
year.
Oh,
I thought
no.
you did. But you're this is the one you're coming up with.
This is our car. Yeah, we have a boat tail speedster. He started a boat tail speedster. He's got about 3 days of work in it right now. And when we started the Radical Build-Off, we were told that you couldn't start with a project that you had already started.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
So we hauled that over to one of the other shops, and then we hauled that frame in, and that Studebaker body, and and bought some steel, and here she sits.
Just,
you know,
too good.
Running pretty fast. Well, we had a rear window out of what is that out of? Sorry, a 48 Ford pickup. Yeah, just like my grandpa's.
Oh,
a 48
right, okay.
Ford pickup. Yeah, and we had chopped it to put in this other rat rod we were building, and kind of lost interest in that for a number of reasons, and we sold it. But I made him keep the rear window because I really liked it. And so that's actually going into this car, too. So
that is super.
Both the only things we started with. Yeah.
Well, listen, Heidi, it's been really good talking with you. We're almost out of time. I can't believe that we've gotten this far. It's easy to get lost in these things. Give us your website and your Facebook page.
Okay, so our website is www.mnoutlawcustoms.com. Our Facebook is the same, MN Outlaw Customs. And you can follow us on Instagram at MN Outlaw Customs and Outlaw Edge.
Super.
Outlaw Edge Blade Works, I think it comes on. And then on YouTube on Outlaw Edge as well. And there is
Excellent.
A playlist on the YouTube channel that starts this car
Oh, cool.
All the way through. And there's probably 1,300 videos on there.
He's nice. Well, we will definitely link to those. Heidi, thanks so much. And say thanks to Arco as well. We have really enjoyed having you on the show. You guys are listening to the greatest automotive info show in the known world. And we have a really cool hot rod story that you could tell your friends. That's up next on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14,
31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life, or just show up at your garage and weld up the frame for your rod so it stays together. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 206-437-1765. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 206- 206-437-1765, 206-437-1765.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
This is Quentin Folk. I dig up old hot rods, and I also dig this podcast.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving.
Hi, this is Adam Kramer from Avance.com. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
It's time for Cars Confidential, and we're back with a story from Lance Lambert this week. What's up, Brady?
Oh, yeah. Lance has graciously allowed us to read stories from Fenders, Fins, and Friends, Confessions of a Car Guy. Graciously,
the three Fs of car.
Graciously, because essentially he's a promotional fool, and he doesn't care if we do that.
He's a promotional fool.
But yeah, I mean, he's got a great series of books, and this one's got some great stories in it. And this one... it could be prophetic. It's called Idiot in the Arterial. Idiot, let me say this again, Idiot in the Arterial.
I've been that occasionally.
Oh, haven't we all? There's an old motorcyclist cliche that there are two types of motorcycle riders, those who have crashed and those who will crash. Unfortunately, I'm one of the former. My 1960 Triumph 650 Bonneville was a very cool ride with its sprung chopper front end and high riser handlebars. It was everything decent folk feared and young woman admitted or admired, or so I thought. At the time, I was stricken with the dreaded social disease egotism, a malady that causes young men to constantly remind others that the world revolves around them.
Yes.
This disease caused my Triumph to go from a very good-looking motorcycle to a not-so-good-looking modern art sculpture. It's also illustrated the appropriateness of wearing a crash helmet when riding a motorcycle. And just for those of you who are concerned about this, there was a time in Washington State where this all took place where you didn't have to wear a helmet.
I remember it.
Now, of course, you must, and it's probably smart to do so. But just so that you understand where this is coming from. I was driving, says Lance, on a major arterial in my hometown when I came across three attractive young ladies in a 1966 Mustang convertible. The top was down, and they seemed to be enjoying the ride. The sun was shining, and my Triumph was running as well as any British-built vehicle can. That is to say, it hadn't broken down yet that day. My egotism suddenly overcame my common sense as I approached the beautiful, beauty-filled convertible. I passed the Mustang, looked over at the bevy of beauties, and gave them my best. Yeah, that's right, ladies. This stud on two wheels is your dream come true. Look. When, much to my dismay, did you like that?
Yes, I did.
I'm trying to do the best Lance I have here. Much to my dismay, a car in front of me had stopped. I had failed to notice this. I looked down, and everything went into slow motion as I crashed into the rear of the car. I watched the motorcycle's handlebars pass underneath me, followed by the car's trunk, top, and hood. It was like I had all the afternoon to enjoy the passing view before I returned to my tray to the upright position and buckled my seatbelt. Not so gracefully, I made contact with the ground in a perfect three-point landing, my head, elbow, and knee.
Wow.
My knee injury was minor and required only a large Band-Aid and a new pair of Levi's. My elbow lost the majority of its freckled surface, which in the following weeks healed, but strangely didn't replace the freckles during the recovery. My head was fine, he thinks. But my helmet was not. It looked like it had been hit with a huge piece of asphalt, and at that moment I realized that, in fact, it had been hit with a huge piece of arterial street. Fortunately, no artery was spilling blood upon the arterial. Lance is getting extra points for literary license here. As the fog cleared, I realized several things. One, my triumph was a mess. Two, I was an idiot. And worst of all, three, the young ladies, though kind enough to stop and make sure I was okay, were now laughing at the two-wheeled stud lying in the street.
Wow.
It was not the reaction that only moments ago I'd hoped to elicit from them. Not one of the ladies offered me her phone number. Not one. None of them. In the following weeks, I managed to scrounge up enough money to have the motorcycle fixed. I'm sure the guy who stole it a month later appreciated my efforts. See, this is
Brady. Have you
horsepower, chrome, and rust? And typically, we talk about cars. However, motor people are motor people.
Yes,
and
they are.
Who among us has not, at one point or another, dipped a toe in the motorcycle pool? I, of course, spent 40 years in the motorcycle pool.
Yes, you did.
And yes.
Mine was 11 years.
I have only crashed twice. I'm knocking wood even as we speak here because, you know, two crashes is about the average, really. One was very, very, very low speed at about probably 12 miles an hour on an oil slick on a downhill turn to the right, and it was not fun, and I set it down and felt like an idiot because there was a good-looking young lady on the back when I did it.
Ooh.
And it had been her first motorcycle ride, and I said, no worries, I'll be very safe. This was on the chopper that I built with a 16-inch over front end, and so it was not a good handling bike at low speeds anyway, but I was an idiot. The other time I crashed, I was doing about 80 on a track, and I the official word was failed to negotiate a turn. I was flogging along thinking I was cool, and all of a sudden I looked to my left, and the road had gone that way. I, however, did not. I drove off the track into the gravel-filled infield, and I did not fall down. I will give myself absolutely no credit for, you know, expertise here. It's sheer luck that I did not fall down. I rolled the bike to a stop and sat there and vibrated for about 5 minutes before I got up the guts to continue on around the track.
Yes.
But it could have been a whole different thing.
Now, I had, well, I guess two scenarios. The first one was I hadn't been riding very long, and I was pretty much a newbie rider. I went out with a couple of guys that were very well-versed in riding. And we came around Maltby area, and I was hooking that corner to get out on Highway 9 from Filbert. And, well, I at that point didn't know that you used front brakes very much because I had been riding a bicycle. And so I was relying on my rear brake to slow me down, and it didn't work, and I kind of just went right into the field and bushes.
Yep.
And I stopped, and they came back and said, "What are you blip, blip, blip doing, Steve?" And, well, this is what I – you didn't use your front brake? No. Dude, use your front brake. Well, then that point on, I used it, and I didn't have any problem. The second one, I was clipping along at about 20 miles an hour on a country road here locally. Went out of nowhere, came a dog, and slammed right into my front wheel. I didn't even see it. It came in, slammed into it, and I was ass over tea kettle. I, like Lance, saw my handlebars drop below me. Yes. I flipped over. I slammed down. I, too, had a helmet, and I hit both wrists, and I rolled, and I got back up, and there's the dog, and I was just about ready to run over and kick it in the head because I was so mad.
Yeah.
And then I said,
poor dog
didn't know what he was doing. And then
that's right.
I'm trying to lift up the bike, and then the owner comes running out of her driveway. Oh, my dog. I'm like, well, what about me?
Did you hurt the dog?
Well, the dog ended up dying.
Oh, man. See, that's not a good story.
It's not. But they did pay for my repair of my bike and my work on my wrist because they shouldn't have let the dog go.
Well,
and it doesn't. The dog, it wasn't its fault.
No, I get it, and dogs do like to run and chase stuff.
Oh, I've had many a story I can tell you about dogs.
Not good that the doggy died.
No,
poor dog.
It
poor
wasn't.
Dog. But I'm glad you weren't badly hurt because that can go sideways pretty quickly.
Well, and to be honest, I kind of cheaped out in getting it fixed, and so there was always a crook in the forks. Always kind of turn in a little different direction from the handlebars.
Uh-huh. Nice.
And I even sold it that way many years later. And I'm like, in hindsight, I'm like, why didn't I actually have it done correctly?
Well, there's that.
But, you know, when you're young, you're strapped for money, you tend to get things done on the cheap.
Yes.
And pocket the extra couple hundred dollars thinking, hey, this is a cool thing. And then years later, you look back and go.
It's riding a very dangerous machine.
Yes, it was. So.
Well, you know, people do have these things, and, you know, a lot of people have a worse experience than we did. We're very fortunate. I guess it just goes to, you know, pay attention. Although saying that to young guys, young riders is, you know, we mean to, but sometimes, you know.
I creased a car looking at a girl one time, so I know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, as we always say, thanks to Lance for letting us read stories out of his book. We have the weekly trivia question coming up next. We got a peek at next week's show. Put it in park. Stick around. We will be back. Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life or just show up at your garage and help. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 425-626-4135. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 425-626-4135. 425-626-4135.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
This is Vince LaViolette from Shelby American in Las Vegas. And you're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can, you're an El Camino, El Camino man.
Welcome back. This is Around the Wheel. This is where we talk about upcoming events and the Nathan Lipinski Automotive Trivia Question of the Week, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of upcoming events, you know, we are deep in this whole coronavirus thing. And unfortunately, a lot of car shows that were, you know, right
the
around
big
now.
Boy the ones, month,
well,
the
yeah,
new
I mean,
ones.
They canceled the Portland Roadster Show, which is a huge one.
Well, and the Geneva and, car show, which is 700,000 people show up at that thing.
So a lot of them are being canceled. We have calendars and we talk about some of the shows that are scheduled. But honestly, I'm a little leery about saying, you know, the ones that are coming
we'll
up because
off.
So many
we'll
people are canceling the shows. So my best advice is this.
Share the show with everybody because they need to have something to listen to.
And if you have a car show that is going on and you know it,
right.
Let us know. And we'll be happy to promote it, but we just, you know, we got to kind of be cautious with that. And I don't know, you know, this whole 6 foot social distancing thing, I want to get closer than that to some of the cars.
Same here.
Personally, but anyway. I don't mean to be facetious.
Well, but sometimes the serious. Owners don't let you get that close to their car.
No,
if you start breathing on them, they come over and go, hey.
Sometimes that's okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, last week's trivia question was a pretty good one, actually. There was more to it than we thought. What the question was who invented the windshield wiper? And it really was more like what sort of person invented the windshield wiper? And we actually got a winner. Don Boro from Tribeca, New York, got with me on Facebook. He was like there when I got home.
Wow.
I mean, practically like the next day he was on it. And
so as soon as he heard the show.
As soon as he heard the show, basically he banged and went, you know, there. So the person who invented the windshield wipers actually were invented in 1903 by a woman.
Wow.
And her name was Mary Anderson, and she... they weren't called windshield wipers. And you got to think, now, 1903, how many cars
were there? Screen wipers?
Well, how many? No. It was called a window cleaning device.
Oh.
A window cleaning device. And you got to think, how many cars were there in 1903? And how forward-thinking was this woman to decide that they needed a mechanical device to clean the windshield? That actually is, like, pretty front-thinking. So, kudos to Mary
Did
Anderson.
They ever have windows on... wagon, like horse-drawn carriages?
Well, I don't. I can't speak to it. I know that some of the carriages had side windows, but most of the horse-drawn ones, they had a seat up front. You couldn't look forward.
Right. So
some of them did.
But the closed ones, like I've been watching old Sherlock Holmes, and it's like the caddy's sitting up above, and they close the door.
Yeah.
But the front's open. The top part's open.
Some of it is.
Like
I don't know the answer to that as far as was there a window, but the bottom line is Don Boro got the answer.
Well, good for him.
And so he's going to be prominently featured in the Nathan Lipinski Memorial Trivia Question.
I like that
thing for this week and for next week. Oh, I got a good one for you now. Everybody knows about car radios. We actually had a thing a while back on, you know, when car radios were first put in cars. But the first car radio was a Motorola car radio.
Okay.
We already know this.
Yes.
The question for next week is, where did the name Motorola come from and why?
Oh, that's right. It's not what I thought it was. No.
Nope. Where did the name Motorola come from, and why was that? If you know, you can get with us at contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can send us a Facebook message. You can IM me. You can send smoke signals or throw a rock through my window, whatever you'd like. And you too may be the coveted face and name on a poster of holding the bucket of barn find dust, which, as we all know, if you put the dust on your car, it's worth four times what it normally would be because people will think you found it in a barn or not.
Well, I had a really cool thing about a 68 Fastback that was up for auction.
A 68 Fastback what?
Mustang.
Oh, okay.
Right now on Hemmings, running at 25 grand and still going up. Powered by a 347. Do you know what a 347 started out as?
A 346.
302.
Hey, thanks for liking and following our Facebook page and enjoying the show because we sure do. Our archives are at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. We're on Spotify, iTunes, and iHeartRadio. Thanks to Heidi Lynn and Arco Horton from Minnesota Outlaw Customs for the great conversation this week. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm still Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Next week, we do this all over again on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.